that analyzes the differences between enforcement in the Glen Allen area, for example, and in other areas. We compared it to the Tokay area, for example. And I'd like to get that to you and discuss it with you a bit. What we did was, we knew about your concern and Representative Schultz's concern, so we asked our supervisory staff to do a series of evaluation inspections in which they themselves, the supervisors, went to the facilities to be inspected and checked to see how it was being done. And we have, this includes inspection done by our standardization officer. We have a staff person, supervisory level, whose responsibility it is to train staff so that we're consistent and even-handed, so that we use the same standards in different offices. So far, I'll bring you the results of that, but let me also suggest...
I'm doing a survey also, and I'm going to share that one with you, too.
Good. We did 29 evaluation inspections. I'll bring you the results of those. The other things we're doing is, in that particular office that you're concerned about, that one is up next for the standardization training by our standardization officer. And so that will be something coming. The director of our environmental health division has issued a policy memorandum giving guidance to all the offices in order to try to build a more consistent approach to enforcement. And I have made a priority of reviewing our enforcement policy and our enforcement manual and cleaning it up, making sure that it's realistic and that it emphasizes the kind of relationship that you need to develop with people when you're helping them or sometimes criticizing them for how they're doing business in these diverse areas of the state.
So that they're running from the same sheet of music, so the people
right.
in Palmer are not telling somebody at the roadhouse, well, you know, this is fine, and somebody coming in from another office and saying,
yep.
no, it's not fine. And,
that's right.
And then we have to get in trouble.
That's right. I would say one thing about the Glen Allen area. There's a tough situation there because of the soil conditions. They're just not as receptive to sewage disposal as they are, say, in the Toke area where you've got permeable soils. But the folks in Glen Allen and in the roadhouses along the road, they just have a tough time.
Yeah.
It's not that they want to mess up. It's just that they don't have a condition that's easy to fix. And, of course, then it gets into kind of a difficult loop. But I'll bring that report
yeah.
to you and we can talk about
well,
it.
Well, I think that... Before we dive into the, we only got 10 minutes, and that's a kind of an individual thing, but it gets into that whole compliance area, and I think that go ahead,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
I'd like to have a copy of that report.
Sure.
Because
we'll have it for the
over a period of time. I've been seeing things too that, and just briefly. Depending upon the inspector, you come up with some reg that says for every so many seats you need a different toilet or another urinal or whatever. And the small areas are forced into spending money to comply. And then, of course, it's the guy's going to say, well, they're never full at one time, so I do have plenty of seats. And I think you have to be somewhat flexible because when you go into the Anchorage market, I can show you major restaurants that aren't in compliance, but nobody's doing anything about it. You know, where as far as that little segment, you know, they're short of urinal or they're short of commode or something like this, depending upon the seats. I think we really do have to be fair, and I'm looking out for the, I think you are too, that's what you're saying, the small guy, and there has to be some wavering where they're not so strict, because in an individual circumstance, they may never have that restaurant half full to the seating capacity, or the number of seats there, because it's just not thriving in the business. So, but I'd like to see it too. It's a small thing, but there's a lot of restaurant people that are affected by these things.
Some of those restaurant operators would sure like it if they were busy enough to have the the pressure that they had to have the extra stuff. By the way, the municipality of Anchorage actually does the inspections there.
Yeah, I know.
As does they do in Fairbanks
yeah.
also.
But I guess the theme, and I know we're going to run out of time, and I'm going to have to apologize for not giving you all the time to do this, but I think that we have a chance to, you know, you said, well, you're going to come before me, and we're going to see if we could convince me that your agency was in good shape. Well, I have never said that those agency functions should never happen, but I think that what we need to do is we need to put the proper horse in front of the wagon, and that is technical assistance, technical awareness to the people. Like when somebody's going to build a roadhouse out there someplace, they should be able to know that there's regulations that they're going to have to, if they're going to serve the public and they're going to be in that public sector, that they won't have to go to the you remember the sink rebellion that happened along the highway system, you know, because it happened to be a new thing that came out, and so everybody was out of compliance. And I think that if we're going to have this technical assistance, we should say, we're going to be thinking about this because this is an area that we need to clean up, and we're going to start a phase-in program, and we're going to go 18 months, and we're going to phase into it. Well, on the other side, somebody's going to say, well, if it's bad, it should be fixed now. You shouldn't have to go the 18 months, but there are certain resources that those people just don't have to be able to jump through that hoop right away. And I guess the other thing is that there are certain times that the big people, the little guy, the mom and pop along the highway, has to jump through that same hoop that the big restaurant owner has to jump through. And maybe that's necessary in order to protect the public interest of the traveling public. But is there some way or other that those awareness things can be done? You know what I'm...
I understand what you're saying.
Go ahead, Commissioner. We've got about 5 minutes, and you can wrap it up.
Let me skip through a couple of things here. Another program that you might just want to be aware of is solid waste management. Again, we work with communities to ensure that solid waste disposal sites are properly designed, constructed. They need to be operated effectively in order to avoid groundwater contamination and other nuisances or serious problems. And I won't give you the examples now, but one of the examples where we have really made some solid progress is here in Juneau with Channel Sanitation Incinerator, which was a kind of joint effort to really make some progress with a problem that for Juneau is a big one because there's not much room for a landfill. The other thing I'd mention, just to wrap up this portion, and then I can give you a quick picture of our environmental health and facilities construction and operation program, is hazardous waste. I won't talk about it much more now because we'll have a chance to talk about it in the budget process.
Yeah.
And it is a very important one to small business, large industry, local communities. Managing hazardous waste in an economically acceptable manner is a very tough problem. And the state doesn't have that federal program now, but the governor has authorized money in the budget to lay the foundation for the state to take it over. So I'd like to come back to that in the budget.
I think what we're going to have to do, Commissioner, is maybe have you come back during another time when we have a couple bills that are up that need to go, and that maybe we can take some of these, because I'd like to talk about Crown Point, and I'd like to talk about the railroad, and I'd like to talk about, you know, their role in this thing. I think we've only scratched your iceberg here today, because there are so many things that we have to roll into it. So the presentation that you make, we've got HES committee has to take this room at 3:30. And we got 5 minutes, and we got to clean up. So maybe what we ought to do is just have you wrap it up,
okay.
And then we're not through with you.
Okay, that's fine. I view myself as on call to you, and on questions that your constituents have, or on talking about the program overall. Let me just list the other things that we're involved with in the environmental health area, sanitation and public facilities. It's a smallish staff. That's one of our big problems, because whenever we try to give that technical consultation, we run into the budget and staffing problem. But sanitation and public facilities, seafood inspection, meat, poultry, and dairy, we've talked a bit about them. My emphasis here is on good specialty training, because we don't have very many people. These are specialty areas. The seafood inspector doesn't necessarily do the same thing as the restaurant inspector, but they need to both be specialists and to be cross-trained so we can get the most mileage we can out of our limited staff. And we can talk a bit more about that in the budget process as well. In the area of facilities, construction, and operation, there are a couple of programs that I just make you aware of. One is federal grants. We administer federal grants, and $85 million has already been distributed within Alaska under that program. Construction grants, using state money, the state administers, or DEC administers, the state grants for 50% matching grants for municipalities. That's water, wastewater, and solid waste projects. It's been very popular in the state, and that's what we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. Senator Jones, about Mountain Point. Then in addition to that, there's the Village Safe Water Program, which provides technical managerial assistance, and funding for 100% of project costs. Those are communities that don't have the ability to raise money to make a match. They don't have the organizational structure, for one thing. But those are either second-class cities or other communities. And the other thing I would mention is I started at the outset and said there was one program that didn't have a direct statutory mandate. That's our operator certification and remote maintenance program. We certify operators so that these projects that the state has put money into can be run properly and maintained. And we also maintain a small staff that troubleshoots, goes out to communities that are having problems with their systems. They do training, they help keep the systems online, and there are three remote maintenance workers who are full-time in different regions, three regions of the state, that are hired by regional health corporations and that we work with. And the purpose is to protect the state's capital investment and to keep the public health protected by running those systems correctly. So those are the pieces.
We need to take and expand that program a little bit, because that's the area where you get somebody trained, and the next thing you know, you're training for Nenana or for Amonok, and then the next thing you know, he's got a good job in Anchorage.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
may I?
I have a comment. Would you consider contracting that out to qualified people, say like in Ketchikan? It just happened to a person that is, if he's not qualified, it wouldn't take him much to become qualified, because he's had a lot of experience in the wastewater plants throughout like Thorn Bay and in town there. But if you had a person like that who wasn't on the payroll all the time, but you could call up and you had a contract with him and he could come down and take a look, troubleshoot type. Mm-hmm.
Well, that certainly makes sense as a way of operating. Our problem is that it's such a small program that we have hardly any staff on board to do that work, and they normally work throughout. Most of their work tends to be in the northern part of the state because of the way the villages are distributed in the state. But we basically do that because what we do is pass through grants to regional health corporations to hire a remote maintenance worker, and it's a very small program. We put $72,000 in three different regions in fiscal year 88. But it is in effect a contract with the corporation. We just don't have the funds even to enter into a contract that you described. Although it's not as if we have extra people down there doing it anyway.
See, what I see happening is somebody sitting there waiting for something to happen. He's on the payroll for 8 hours a day for months on end.
No, that's not the case. Yeah. For one thing, we don't have that person sitting there. The staff that we have is on call all the time and screwing around. We're talking about a couple of people is all.
I have a Hess chairman is going to...
I just have one thing for Mr. Chairman. Just, I would like to request that the Mountain Point thing, if you could copy me in on your...
Absolutely.
Thank you, Commissioner, for a very informative afternoon. If we'd have got started at 1:30 instead of 1:45, we might have been able to finish off, but then that was beyond our control. And we'll have you back to the table, and I would like to continue it, because I think it is very important in the whole natural resource structure that we have some coordination, and our office is open anytime.
Thank you.
Sure.
Very good.
Here we go.